Logical, the UAE's first regular legal podcast. I'm with Ludmila Yamalova. Ludmila is the managing partner of Yamalova and Plethka. Lovely to see you, Ludmila.
It's great to see you too, Tim. Thanks for being here.
Now, today we're going to be talking about, I guess, the most critical mistakes that businesses make here, starting on the wrong foundation, and really specifically talking about businesses that come in from outside of the UAE in this podcast. It's just such an important thing, isn't it, Ludmila? It's everything you do. Build a building, you want a good foundation. Have children, you want a good you know where I'm going with this.
Indeed, yes. And it is a very important topic, as you rightfully say. And I often say that if a business is built on the wrong foundation, it's like building on eggshells. It's only a matter of time before it collapses.
Yeah.
And having spent myself 25 years as a lawyer and 16 years running my own law practice, I've seen this issue firsthand, not only through my clients' experience, but also through my own journey of setting up and managing business in the UAE.
Can you explain why the initial decision of where to set up a business in the UAE is so crucial?
Yes, absolutely. So one, perhaps the most kind of general comment is that in the UAE, you cannot just set up business in the UAE. You have to pick where in the UAE you want to set up a business. Yeah. So you cannot just set up a federal UAE company. Every emirate where you set up, you will have an emirate-specific business. So if you want to set up in Abu Dhabi, you have to set up in Abu Dhabi. If you want to Ajman, you have to set up in Ajman. So it's not like you just come and you open a federal company and gives you the right to operate anywhere in the UAE. And the UAE being a country of seven emirates, so that's seven different jurisdictions from which to choose where you want to start your business. So a lot of people, at least, you know, historically looked at the starting cost of a business. And some of the emirates would offer cheaper basis from which to start a business. Yeah. And that point, they will place you in that particular jurisdiction, let's say Fujairah. And so a lot of businesses were too much focused on the initial cost and just thought, okay, well, Fujairah, as an example, offers a cheap alternative, so I'll set up there. Not realizing that by virtue of setting up in Fujairah, you're now bound to Fujairah in many different ways. And there were even examples back in the old days where if you were set up in Fujairah as an investor and you would, let's say we're a business owner and you'd have a visa through Fujairah, you couldn't even register a car in Dubai. And you lived in Dubai, but you couldn't register a car in Dubai. You'd have to register in Fujairah. Yeah. I'm not sure if you remember these examples.
I do.
So that's what people don't really realize is that where you set up creates the foundation to everything else that you do. Not only as a business, but also sometimes in as you know, private life, such as owning a car, for example, and having to do renewals every year. You have to go back to the emirate where you're based, and so that's just some examples. So that's important to understand that you need to choose the emirate where it is that your business will be based. Now, for some people, it doesn't matter which emirate it is because, let's say, they do online business. But there may be some other factors, as I said earlier. For example, owning a car or having to update Emirates ID and do medical as well back in the old days as well. So now it's a lot more fluid. But back in the old days, if you had a visa from Ras Al Khaimah to do a renewal of medical, you had to go back to Ras Al Khaimah and so on and so forth. So therefore, the first decision has to be which emirate I should be based, and the consideration of price should not be kind of the primary consideration. Obviously, it's important, but it could be an important and in consideration for those for whom it truly doesn't matter where you're based geographically. But it also, just kind of as to reiterate, it may also be only just a matter of appearances. You think it doesn't matter until you're actually, you know, up to your neck doing business. Another example, perhaps a more current example, is banking. So let's say if you are set up in Fujairah or Iraq you want to do some serious banking transaction, the banks kind of now look at like, where are you set up? Show me where your business is set up. And if they see that you're set up in either an emirate that they don't recognize, that it doesn't have the international kind of recognition, especially if you're dealing with international banks. And also within each emirate, there's a specific economic zone. Mm. So banks often do not open bank accounts for those businesses that are set up in certain economic zones just because they don't understand either the business and or like why that business is in that particular economic zone. So there's some, their reputation of where you set up also these days colors the rest of your experience as a business. So setting up or choosing an emirate is one, Then the two is which specific economic zone within the emirate, because similarly, just like you cannot set up a federal company, you cannot really set up a Dubai company or an Ajman company. It's you have to choose where within Dubai, which economic zone you want to set up. And the economic zones at a high level are divided into two categories: one, the mainland, and then the free zones. Mm-hmm. And then historically, there was the difference between mainland and free zones was much greater, because on the mainland, you needed to have a local partner, at least 51% ownership for most businesses. Whereas in free zones, you could, as foreigners, could own businesses outright. So that was kind of the initial difference and the inception of free zones. And but now that the laws have changed and you're no longer required to have a local partner, so that difference is gone now. So now businesses are kind of really have a lot more choice to choose from, and that is they could be on anywhere on the mainland or they could be in any of the free zones. And also there's so many different free zones as well. So as a business, you also need to understand, okay, what does it mean to be setting up in Dubai? Okay, I need to not just set up in Dubai. Where do I want to be? Which economic zone do I want to be in? You know, and that really is where you need to go through a little more due diligence, a little more thinking, a little more understanding of what it means to have a business set up in the UAE, because some of these economic zones maybe not be as appropriate for certain businesses, either by virtue of the nature of that business or because of the way the free zones sort of do business.
It's kind of complicated these days, isn't it? What's the difference between setting up in a free zone and the mainland?
Yeah, so and there are differences even within those, right? So, right. So mainland, because historically this is where companies had to be set up with local partners, much of their business practices and the interaction and interface with businesses and companies is still somewhat rooted in that kind of historical narrative, which means that there is, you know, one example is they have from the employee standpoint, you know, every business has like is a category A, B, or C. So like there's no, you have to be basically kind of have to be selected or you have to be one of these categories. And based on which category you're in, and that usually is defined by the number of employees you have, then you have a certain quota of how many employees you can have as a yes. business. Yeah. And also within that, like the quota is allotted for, let's say, you know, for different designations of employees. So let's say you have one quota for one accountant. So you cannot hire two accountants. You can hire an accountant, but that person, second accountant, but that person will not have an accounting designation. And so that's kind of one of the dynamics of businesses that are set up on the mainland, is that they are still within that, perhaps to an extent, legacy employment framework, where in terms of hiring employees, they have a little less flexibility because they're sort of pigeonholed in that A, B, or C category. On the basis of that, there is a quota. And then within that quota, there is basically per designation, but also there's female and male employees. We've also seen that with a few recent building businesses. Yeah, oh. So they would not be able to hire, you know, to apply that particular quota because that quota is open for a male position and this is a female. So, you know, that's basically one example of a mainland business. The other one is, and that's in terms of the interface, the user interface. So on the mainland, you have, I guess as a business, you have these three, if you will, sectors of business. You know, one is your relationship with the licensing authority, and that's the authority that issues your license. You go through on the annual basis through renewals. You submit your audit. This is the authority that also has your foundational documents if you want to do any changes to shareholding or to management. So it's all kind of done through this, the licensing authority. So that's one aspect of your business. The other one is the employment. So employees. So your employees are subject to employment agreements, employment relationships. So that's for mainland employees, the authority that governs that is MOHRE, or Ministry of Human Resources and Amortization. Right. That's the other aspect as a business of your relation of your relationship with, you know, within your business, and that's regarding your employees. And third is kind of on the back of that is the immigration. And that's for all those employees who you as a business sponsor, then you need to, you also have a separate relationship with immigration. That's you when applying for visas for your employees, canceling visas, renewing visas, and so on and so forth. So it's the three different government authorities with which you work as a business. So for mainland companies, you as a business, you communicate with each one of these authorities separately. So there is a portal, there is, you know, an account for each one of these authorities. And so if you want to, you have an employment issue, you want to update somebody's contract, you have to go to Mohre, and that's a separate kind of portal, if you will, and set of services. If you want to update your license or submit audit or renew your license, that's with the DED, the Department of Economic Development, which is licensing authority. And then if you want to update somebody's visa or renew or cancel, that's immigration. So it's so that kind of interface for businesses is fragmented by those three different authorities, so you deal with them separately. But then in free zones, a lot of the free zones, by comparison, they tend to have one centralized portal for all businesses to deal with all three of these aspects of doing business. Yeah. So let me share some of the free zones that I, in my professional opinion and based on experience, deem to be some of the more kind of user-friendly, business-friendly. Let's say the DMCC, which is Dubai Multi-Commodity Center, which is the free zone where we're based, and I've been here for 16 years now. There's the JAFSA, Jebel-Ali Free Zone Authority, is one of the oldest free zones. There's the DIFC, which is Dubai International Financial Center. That's obviously the financial. So they're like, this is just some examples of perhaps some more developed and sophisticated economic zones that from the very beginning, either from the very beginning or by virtue of sort of their initial birth, if you will, they're a lot more business friendly, business focused. So they provide just one portal. Let's say the DMC just has one portal for all of the companies. So as a company, you have a portal through which you manage all your dealings with the licensing authority, the DMCC, that is, in terms of your license renewals and audits and such. Then you have all the employees are also being dealt through the free zone, same authority, mm-hmm. and same with immigration. So everything done through this one portal.
Right.
So for business, it's very efficient and a very economic and accessible and user-friendly and a very transparent way of doing business. So it's all in one place. And it's especially important or valuable for foreign businesses. And we represent a lot of foreign businesses that either are seeking to set up in Dubai or in the UAE or have already set up and or looking to restructure a little bit. So it's that having that kind of access to information and that sort of visibility, transparency, and user-friendly interface is that much more important for businesses that are based, whose founders, whose sort of brain centers are based abroad. Right, because they have to, in many ways, manage these businesses from afar. So having that kind of window, this portal into all things related to your business, and having the accountability, because also when you log into the portal, you can have different logins for different people. So let's say if you want your HR to have certain kind of login, you give them their own login. So any kind of requests that are being made on the system, you can see who makes them. So there's a lot of transparency, a lot of accountability, and just, you know, very, very efficient, effective way of staying on top of your business. So that's just one example, right? That's DMCC. JAFS is very similar. DFC is very similar. And so for mainland companies, there is that sort of fragmented relationship, at least for the time being, you know, perhaps as part of the UAE's ongoing and continuous digital transformation. They'll merge all those services into one. But for the time being, that's basically just some examples for you of a company coming into the UAE, what it may experience and how it may find an experience once it's here, boots on the ground, in terms of what it can do next. And we've had some of these examples, and fairly painful examples, from a number of our clients just in the last year, exactly for that reason, because they set up in a zone which, based on what the business is, how the business is structured, what the business wants to do, how it wants to grow, is actually not the best zone for them. So that's basically, and that's, you know, that's kind of, and that's also what generated this, you know, this thought about sharing, doing this podcast and sharing some of our examples and specific experiences to help businesses perhaps make the right decisions and have the right sort of information, or at least know which questions to ask and kind of at the outset or early on their process.
Can we talk about some specific benefits that some free zones, offer?
Yeah, well, so there's, you know, and this is where you kind of need to take it.
I know, there are so many.
I know. Yeah, that's one, but also to you, where you need to kind of take it back and think, okay, so what's the business, right? Because in many other countries, many other jurisdictions, you don't really need to go through figuring out, okay, so which activity to choose. In the UAE, you need, every business needs to choose an activity, right? So to put on your license. It could be multiple activities, not all activities are combined. But let's say you cannot, like in the US, you just go, you register a license, LLC, whatever, LLP, whatever you want it to be. You don't need to indicate what it's for. Like, what is it? Legal services? Is it engineering? Is it IT? You just basically open a legal entity. And then as you go through the process, you define the business. Well, in the UAE, you need to, at the outset, unless you open a holding company, then you need to define what activity you're going to pursue.
Right.
And that's why that has to be one of the starting questions in your decision making. And that just to know which one for your business, your specific business, where is it best for you to be based? You know, if you, let's say, if you're in shipping, maybe you want to be in the port, right? If you're in logistics, maybe you want to be close to the airport. Right. If you are in financial services, you may want to be in the DIFC, the financial free zone. So the activity of the business is very important. And so that's how you should also look at the specific free zones and the various activities that they try to attract. Like, let's say we have Dubai Healthcare City, right? So that's for medical activities. You have the Silicon Oasis. You have Media City. You have the D3, which is kind of for artists. So you have the commodities, which is, you know, the DMCC. And so as a business, you should look, okay, well, I mean, is there a particular, so let's say if you have a specialized business, some free zones might be much better suited for you. Right. So that's one aspect of the free zone. I mean, the other one also is location is also important because some people want to be close to something. I mean, a lot of businesses, it matters. So if you want a location, that's also one of the factors. Another one is, OK, in terms of the office space, what I want, I don't want to have my own office because it's too expensive or it's too big or I don't need that. So I need to look at a free zone that offers service offices, right? Offers what's called like a virtual office. So you don't actually take a physical office, but you just have a kind of registered address. You pay for that and you have a license address mentioned on your license, but you don't actually have to have a physical space.
Right.
Not all free zones have that. So that's another example. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of the in terms of the portals, the ease of doing business, and so that's, you know, that's another, you know, important factor. And I think, to be honest with you, these days, that's probably one that I wanted to highlight, especially because, as the saying goes, not all free zones are created equal. What we have seen recently is that there's a lot of like newer free zones, right? There is a newer free zones. They obviously want to, the new kids on the block, they need, there's, and the market is very competitive. So they need to compete with already well-established free zones. It's not easy. Sometimes they create incentives with various service providers to kind of encourage companies to come and set up there. So what we've seen is there are certain free zones, and I shall not name them as not to offend anyone, but there's certain free zones, for example, where you end up, you don't have a direct relationship with the free zone because there's an agent involved in between.
Okay.
So an agent or like an agent usually is like a consulting company. It could be like business consulting company. And so they have this relationship with the free zone where they, you know, they kind of have this agent status and by virtue of that, they can open companies or help open companies in the free zone. And therefore they become sort of like the middleman between the free zone and the businesses. In some of these free zones, you cannot even open without an agent. So like there's no way to do it directly. So that's kind of an important difference if you were to look at the free zones, in addition to your sort of standard location, your price, activity, office space. That is one, the ease of doing business, the sort of the user interface with the free zone, because unlike maybe other jurisdictions, there's a lot of interface with the authority where your business is registered. It's not like you just you open the license, you pay the fee, and then, you know, you renew it every 5 years. It's not like that here because of our sort of the complex relationship the businesses on which businesses are based here, right? So you've got the licensing, you've got the employees, because, you know, the majority of the employees here are not nationals, right? So their employment relationships need to be regulated through immigration. So because of all that, as this user interface is extremely important, because as a business on a day-to-day basis, you basically interact with the authority. And so, you know, we've seen that in those free zones where that are being set up vis-a-vis an agent, and even more so where you cannot set up in any other way but through an agent, you have this very limiting experience and ability as a business to basically control your own business.
It's
not to mention the potential conflict of interest between the agent agency and the agent in the free zone. So where in most cases there is some kind of a commission that's paid to the agent for bringing the business. Fair enough. You know, we've had a lot of these offers to, you know, as well to us, but, you know, that we obviously don't operate on that basis. But it would all be okay. A, if there was transparency into that, but so many businesses that are set up that way, they have no idea. They have no idea until fast forward a year later, 6 months later, when something needs to be changed, they realize, oh my goodness, we can't, what's happening? So one is basically just transparency. And two, like if the overall ease of doing business remain deficient and in the business's interest, right? So then just having an agent in between doesn't really make big difference. But that's not what we've seen so far. So that's why we've had a few companies in the last year or so come to us and they're just scratching their heads, like trying to rip their hair because they cannot. They just, you know, they don't even know every request they make or remember, because when you're dealing with an agent, that's just a private entity, right? It's just a consultancy firm. Mm. And turnover of employees and personnel is very frequent in this part of the world. So maybe the person you were dealing with is no more. And maybe the agency will not be there anymore. So by the time companies realize these are foreign companies with branches and subsidiaries and affiliated offices here, they realize, oh my goodness, we want to make this one change. How do we make this change? And they reach out to their agents. The agent may not respond. And there is, but it's, so they feel that they don't have this, and they don't, not even aware. This is the biggest one that we've seen is some of our recent clients over the course of this year. They were not even aware that they were set up this way. They don't even know why they were set up a specific free zone. And then two, they're not aware that there's this kind of middleman between them and the free zone, and that prevents them from having a direct relationship with the authority.
So if you're a serious, sensible business coming to set up, I mean, one thing is that local knowledge is key wherever you go in the world. That's the thing. So if you can deal directly, it makes a lot more sense. But what kinds of things have you seen arise from businesses having to work through these agents? Have you got specific examples of where it's maybe gone a little bit awry?
All too many examples. But that certainly is one of the biggest pitfalls, is that foreign businesses, often move too quickly and rely a little too heavily on promises of these consultants without conducting their own due diligence, and understandably enough, because that's why they're foreign businesses. They're based outside, and in today's day and age, with social media having the presence that it is, it's very easy to advertise your services. Some of these consultancies and agencies and businesses make a very concerted push to advertise in a specific country or jurisdiction. So, and foreign businesses, that's what they see. So, foreign businesses, especially coming from more developed jurisdictions, they tend to believe what they're being told. So as part of it, and also there's a lot of assurances that come along with the representation. So businesses think, okay, well, so they know what they're doing, we'll go with them. So they rely on consultants. Remember, these are not necessarily consultants with any specific area of expertise, right? It's not like they're lawyers or they're accounting firms or they're auditors or engineers or finance or insurance specialists. No, they're just basically business consultancy firms. And so what we've seen is a few of these many companies and clients are being kind of steered by these consultants towards economic zones with whom the consultants themselves tend to have a relationship with. And that leads to, to suboptimal setups. And then, additionally, because these consultants are kind of they're the captains of the ship, if you will. They're the ones that are steering the ship. So they also opt for, in terms of the legal framework, the legal foundational documents on the templates that these economic zones provide, right? So there's MOAs, AOAs, employment contracts, which may not be perfectly suited for this particular business, for the activity of the business and for their overall objectives and purpose for why they're setting up in the UAE. But they're kind of being pigeonholed into these standard templates without really being made offered an option of customizing their documents. And then many anyways. They're not even aware. Often they're not even aware what they're signing. This kind of comes as a package. Okay, just sign here and we'll open the license for you. So they're not even realizing that they're signing on to these legal instruments, legal documents that may not be sort of adequately outline and structure their business needs.
Is there an element of, international businesses, the bigger they are, the more they, the more power they tend to wield and believe that they understand the frameworks. They've done this for years. You don't need to understand the specifics, the nuances in the Emirates.
For sure. And over the years, we've seen so many of these examples. Right. And again, from a human standpoint, you can understand if you've been a successful business elsewhere. You've got whole teams of lawyers, of accountants, of consultants, so HR teams. And so you think, we have international best practices. We've worked so hard to embrace the best international best practices. So we know what we're doing. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a result, they rely on advice and guidance and even documents. That's the one that kind of puzzles me most still today. Documents that are basically prepared by their headquarters, by people, by their employees in their headquarters. And then itself is not a problem if those people working on these documents had understanding of the UAE's legal and business framework. And so what we've seen is that often it's not there. It's, they just think, okay, we just need somebody to help us set up a business and then we know what to do. But the UAE, for obvious reasons, is its own country and it has its own laws, it has its own employment laws. And I've just described the pure interface for a business on a day-to-day basis with the licensing authority, with the labor authority, the equivalent of, with immigration. So just that alone, and each one of those, by the way, is governed by different laws, right? And you can't and so what we see a lot of businesses will set up and send employees here and don't even occur to them that they don't have a local employment contract. Then just fast forward 2 years, you realize, okay, what did you say, employment contract? But we had one in Australia with them. Like, well, yeah, but the employment laws are always subject to the country's laws. So they're very country specific. So that's often what we've seen is this reliance on their own experience. And in some ways it's maybe justifiable, and their own experts and or teams. Again, they could be extremely, extremely knowledgeable and experienced professionals, but forgetting that this is still a foreign country and it is imperative to have the knowledge of this country's laws and understand how the businesses, the business environment. There's the laws, there's the business, and then there is the jurisprudence, i.e. the courts.
Yes.
And so it's not necessary to have the people who understand that sit in the UAE, but you need to have somebody who has that experience and to be able to guide you and help you set up on the right foundation.
Any specific examples that you've, had to deal with or could, run us through recently?
Yeah, so many. I mean, one is, example is where a company, European company set up here and ended up setting up on the mainland. To this day, they don't know why, because some consultant recommended to them. And then they were trying to hire some new employees and they were just banging their heads against the wall and not able to. And it's because they wanted to hire more accountants that they had quota allowed because of the designation of their business. They did not know that, they wanted to hire more employees. They did not know that the number of the employees that they could hire is governed by the physical office space that they have hired. And there was a lot of, they had no idea about this, the interplay of this different authorities and government services that I just described, the immigration, the MOHRE, the employment authority, in other words, and the licensing authority. So they just kept sort of banging their heads against the wall because they were not able to make what they thought were just very basic changes. And then there was more complications because in terms of the people who could represent the company here, whoever it is that helped them set up, the company only put one person's name and well, that person could make decisions for the company, but the person was not based in the UAE. And so when they wanted to add another person, they were not able, the other person who is also the owner of the company was not able to make decisions for the company because he wasn't reflected in the company's licenses. And it's just, and there's a whole spider web of issues that they were discovering for the first time. And they're feeling frustrated. They were feeling frustrated with us because we seem to kind of made everything so complicated for them. But all it was just trying to untangle the spider web of what had been kind of weaved for them with unbeknownst to them, really. So that was one. Another one as well is just another free zone. And they were set up through an agency like this, through this one of these agents, and they had no idea. And then what they tried to, they came to us as a law firm, as you would do in other jurisdictions. You come to lawyers if you want to make some sort of structural changes to the business. And so when we were trying to do it, we couldn't do it as a law firm represented by them. We couldn't do it. We cannot deal with that specific free zone because we are not registered there as an agent. Okay. And you can only do any one of these things, even legal things. You can only do through an agent. And the agent get very, you know, very uneasy about working with us because they're afraid that they're going to get muscled out. So they're very uncooperative. So all we want to do is, you know, change, let's say, the shareholding of the company. But no, we have to go. We, as a law firm to whom they've paid separately for our services, we now have to go through the agent and kind of plea and play nice to the agent because they're very finicky because they themselves feel insecure that somehow they're going to get displaced. These are very real cases, very recent cases as well. Mm. So this is why we're doing this podcast. I just want to raise awareness for businesses. That's not to say these free zones don't have their own appeal and that they are not good for businesses. On the contrary, but it's just that as a business, before you set up, you need to understand what it is that you want to achieve as a business in the country. And on that basis, you consult with professionals who will give you choices of where best to set up, because it may be that you need a warehouse, and a lot of free zones don't have warehouses. So maybe you need to be next to the port, and you set up somewhere in the desert. And so it's just there's so many mistakes like that. These are the biggest pitfalls that we see that on all stem from just the wrong foundation. And then to unwind it, to kind of to do damage control is expensive. It's time consuming. It's frustrating. And in the meantime, the business needs to run. And if you're not able to run a business because this agent is feeling threatened that they're going to get muscled out or because of whatever other changes they may be going through, it's become sort of, you know, debilitating for business. We had another client recently who was one of these free zones that sort of bonded to an agent. And they want to transfer. They realize that they want to transfer away from the free zone. And the requirement of free zone is that you get an OC or a no objection certificate or approval from the free zone to move, to re-domicile your company. And the free zone is just not responding. So basically sabotaging the move. So imagine what it's like for a business. So kind of to wrap it up, yes, not all free zones are created equally. And so the point of this discussion today is to really, really do your due diligence and do it early and do it well. And don't assume that you know. I mean, you really need to make sure that you do your due diligence and rely on the advice of somebody who knows the laws and the business reality of the UAE. It doesn't have to be, my law firm. It doesn't, but it's somebody who has the experience. But I would also encourage businesses to look at the qualifications of the people who claim to have the experience, because we've seen a lot of these business consultants that sell themselves as like, look, we've been in the UAE for 20 years. We've opened so many companies, perhaps. But setting up a business, it's a legal exercise, right? It's a legal and financial. So it's a legal decision because it's your entire foundation for your business moving forward, as I just explained. So you should actually, if my biased opinion here, you should consult a lawyer and make sure that you understand at least where you set up. Then you can go use one of these agents later on to set up a specific free zones. But before you decide where to set up, I would highly recommend to retain advice of somebody experienced in laws in the UAE, i.e. lawyers, mm-hmm. and somebody who has some history that you can vet, so that they can guide you through the many options that exist out there to help you make sure that you make the right decision and choose the right option.
Because the implications can be quite serious. I've learned that today. That's another logical business setups in the UAE. Thank you for listening and watching, or both, if you're with us on YouTube. Thanks as ever to our legal expert, Ludmila Yamalova, who is the managing partner of Yamalova and Pleska here in Dubai. Ludmila, thank you.
Thank you, Tim, very much.
You can find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube. There are more, probably. Wherever you find your podcasts, you'll find us. Our website is there as well. The podcasts are there, hundreds of them, and lots of UAE-centric legal information. If you'd like a legal question answered, either by a qualified UAE experienced legal professional, or maybe in another episode of Logical, head to lylawyers.com.